Microsoft Virtual Academy training. Today we've got a really exciting topic. We're going to be talking about Minecraft in the classroom. I'm with Victor.
Hi everyone. Exciting time.
It really is a great topic today, Victor. Yeah. What's on the menu?
Right, today we're going to introduce everyone to Minecraft. So we're going to talk about what is Minecraft reading. And not only that, we're also going to look at how you can use Minecraft in the classroom as a teacher. And if you're new to Minecraft, how do you get started? And then the most exciting part of our webinar is we're talking to a teacher who is using Minecraft in the classroom. And we'll reveal the name of the teacher as soon as possible.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, Victor, because it's one thing for us to talk about how Minecraft can be used in a classroom, but we're going to hear later from a teacher who's actually doing just that.
Absolutely.
You know, what her successes have been, the skills her learners have developed, maybe some challenges she's encountered and how she's overcome those.
And lastly, before we close off, we're going to share lots and lots of resources that teachers can use on Minecraft. There are sites that Microsoft has created or set up where teachers can go and download resources that they can use in the classroom for Minecraft.
For sure. We're hoping that by the end of this webinar, people are going to be itching to get going with Minecraft. But it can be a little bit intimidating for teachers, and sometimes it's quite comforting to see what other teachers have done and to learn from their lesson plans to get those creative juices going so that teachers can then come up with their own lessons.
Great. So I'm new to Minecraft. What is it? How can you describe Minecraft? How can you define it?
Well, Victor, I'm not a teacher anymore, but I am a mother.
I know.
And a mother of a 10-year-old girl has to know about Minecraft because it's what kids today are playing. It's something they're doing all of the time. They've got their devices out. They're begging, please can I use your laptop? Please can I use the tablet? And that's something that they're keen to play. So chances are if you've got a teenager in the house, there's a bit of Minecraft going on. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So for the uninitiated, Minecraft is very similar to Lego. If you think of it as being sort of virtual building blocks that players and not just children, loads of adults play Minecraft too, that you can take these virtual building blocks and you can use them to create anything you like.
So more than being a game, it's a toy, isn't it?
I think it's a better way of describing it.
It's a toy.
Because if you think of a toy like a sandpit or a sandbox, you know, today you might have two little boys in it racing cars all over the show. So today the sandbox is a racetrack. But maybe tomorrow you've got you know, somebody else in there busy building a fairy tale castle or you know, pretending it's Mars and they sort of are there doing their lunar landing. So it's a toy in the sense that today the game can be this and tomorrow the game can be that. It's not a game like rugby or Monopoly where these are the rules, these are the boundaries, and everybody sticks to the same rule. It's a toy in that you can do whatever you like with it.
So would I be right to call Minecraft a game of endless possibilities, because
that's a great way of summing it up.
Almost anything with it.
And I think that's also why it's so popular, because it can be played in so many ways. If you look at the pictures on the screen of the sort of Lego houses, if you've got a box of sort of plastic building bricks, you've only got so many in your box. And there's only so many things you know, you can do with them. Whereas with Minecraft, the possibilities are endless. Depending on what mode you're playing in, you can keep creating endless amounts of blocks and doing fancier and fancier and more involved things with them. I mean, just look at that that one house. That's a work of art and all built using Minecraft.
And you talk about modes. Tell us more about modes.
So we were saying it's a toy, but there are two main modes that you can use this toy in. The one mode is survival mode. Now, if you've got a keen Minecrafter in the house, you will know that the thing to do is to survive the first night. So it sounds pretty scary.
Yeah.
But a day in Minecraft only lasts about 20 minutes in real time.
Mm-hmm.
You land in some random place and you need to build a shelter, figure out what you're going to sort of create some light with, keep the monsters away, and try to survive. And then as time goes on and as you become more skilled at sort of surviving, then you can start having adventures and touring around and looking for things to do. But you've got to keep finding resources in order to eat, in
That's
order to craft things.
Yeah.
So you might need to find an axe in order to then get wood that you can then use to make something else. So that's survival mode.
So even in that mode, there's lots of learning that happens, like, you know.
Oh, for sure.
What you need to survive, and, you know, got to do a lot of thinking, like thinking on your feet, like decide now this is what I need, because you have got limited time.
Oh, for sure. So it's very exciting, and it almost works a bit like that Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, you need oxygen and food and water. And then once you sort of have those basic needs taken care of, you can then start to think about, well, how can you make your environment more comfortable or more entertaining? But the other mode, creative mode, that works a bit differently. In survival mode, you've got to look for different resources in order to create things. But in creative mode, there's an endless supply of the various things. So if you're doing a project or the thing you enjoy doing is building things, creating exciting buildings or interesting landscapes, then creative mode might be the one to use, because there's an endless supply of things. You don't have to worry about dying or the hordes are coming.
Yeah.
You can rather get on with creating.
But can you switch between modes?
Yes, and today you can play this one, and tomorrow you can play that one. And for a teacher, they may want to choose the mode to use depending on the topic that they're teaching or the purpose or goals of their lessons.
Yeah, and I see here you have examples of like real, like classroom, scenarios where these modes can be. Used,
yeah, so back in the day we were both geography teachers.
Yes.
And there are all sorts of topics in the geography curriculum, you know, finding directions, following a map, sort of why a town is situated in this place but not 10 kilometers down the road. And it might be because the town was built up where there was access to running water, or good farming land,
yeah,
or
mining resources.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Minecraft, can be a really fun way of teaching those principles. Why don't we set up our village here, because this is where the things that we need to survive are. And in terms of things like deciding where to set up a village, if a group of learners are playing Minecraft together, Minecraft can develop a lot of those 21st century skills, working as a team, collaborating, being fair, not going in and destroying somebody else's building, but being respectful of what others have created and contributed to the world.
How about the idea of kids keeping a diary? They go on survival mode and you tell them, I want you to keep a diary of what you did every day as you survived. Like, so that could be a language topic.
So they're great ideas for English teachers. Writing fiction involves putting yourself in the shoes of a character. So exactly as you've described, somebody could write a diary entry of their sort of surviving their first night, or even You know, another thing English teachers have to teach is how to write instructions. So instead of getting children to write instructions for, you know, baking a cake or the kinds of things that we usually get them to write instructions for, they could write instructions for, well, how do you build a house in Minecraft? Or how do you, you know, create light? And children will enjoy it because it's something where they've enjoyed reading other people's instructions and learning from them. And they can also contribute what they've learned how to do to a class wiki or to one of the many Minecraft online communities where people share ideas and their hacks for surviving.
Right. But you've told me your daughter doesn't really like the survival mode. She likes very much the creative mode.
So
tell us a little bit about that.
So I have a girl, and I don't know if it's a girl thing, but my daughter's not a big fan of survivor mode and having to sort of kill animals to eat meat and you know, sort of protect herself from spiders. That's not the sort of thing she's into. But she can spend hours in creative mode, making more and more elaborate dream houses or, you know, the other day in Minecraft, she was designing a hotel or she's created a roller coaster. So those are things she enjoys doing. But those sort of creative mode activities are also things that teachers might want to try.
Yeah.
So a teacher who's doing, you know, the seven wonders of the world might want to look on the education.microsoft site. And there are great lessons there that have already been developed that teachers can download. There's one on the pyramids of Giza. There's one on the trenches in World War II.
So these lessons, when I download them, would I like build on them or?
So you would have to already have Minecraft installed on your device, and then you download these so that you can then access something that somebody else has already created. But at other schools, sort of learners have made a Minecraft version of their own school. And that can be great for lessons on sort of measuring and calculations. You know, how many bricks will we need, you know, to build the wall? Or if we are making a swimming pool, you know, how many liters of water would, you know, be the volume of that swimming pool?
Mm.
Or if they're trying to build their school to scale, how big is the playground in reality? And if we're making our Minecraft world, you know, a smaller version, how many blocks should we use to represent the playground to keep it in scale?
And you were telling me how your daughter created a toilet.
She did, Victor. Yeah. She spent probably, you know, half an afternoon that she will never get back creating a toilet in Minecraft. And when I first said, you know, what on earth are you doing? And she said, oh, she's making a toilet. I thought, you know, really? But when I looked at what she'd made, she'd put so much thought into it. She had worked out she needed to, you know, find a way of getting something to open, like a toilet lid. And finding a way of pushing another button to make the water disappear, as a toilet does when it flashes.
Yeah.
So she'd had to think about, well, how does a toilet work? And then figure out which bits and pieces needed to fit together in Minecraft to make her virtual toilet function. I mean, afterwards we had a look on YouTube, and there must have been, you know, hundreds of people's videos on how they'd made a you know, a Minecraft toilet. So clearly this is something our tweens are interested in, but. She'd figured it out, you know, on her own after having seen one of her classmates had a toilet in their Minecraft house, and she wanted to try and make something similar. So that's how it can be really inspiring, kids wanting to solve problems and try things out. And I think one of the great things about Minecraft is, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen? You know, if you try and make something and it doesn't quite work out, you know, you can try again tomorrow, or get a friend to help you, or you know, look online and see if you can find some instructions.
And I think invariably they're learning coding skills, like programming skills, but they're not aware of that. It's not like, I'm going to teach you how to program. I just say to create something. And as they do that, they're learning how to program, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think kids realize just how much learning they're doing while having fun. And that's why it can be a really engaging tool in the classroom that teachers might want to try out. You know, do something that kids are enjoying anyway, that they are spending hours on in their free time. But if they suddenly get to play it in science or in maths,
yes,
as part of a sound educational lesson, like that Redstone Lodge example, it involves all sorts of engineering principles. How do pulleys work? How do levers work? But they don't even realize they're busy doing science or coding while they're playing this game. And then there's pixel art. So that's a great like visual art or visual literacy lesson.
Great. I like the idea of, you know, like I can put a game on my PC and I play. But the fact that these days we have internet, kids are able to collaborate. Minecraft provides an opportunity for kids to play with each other virtually, isn't it?
Yeah, so for sure. In Minecraft, you can either play a single player game
yeah,
on your device. You don't have to be connected to the internet, so that's an advantage.
You download the game.
You download it and you can play away. But your world only exists on your device.
PC. Yeah.
But learners can work together through a server. So either a teacher could set this up at school where you're not actually online, but you're all connected to the server. Or you can even look online. There are lots of sort of chat forums and places to play where you can enter other people's worlds. As a parent of a 10-year-old, I don't know that that's something I would allow.
Yeah.
Mm. But for you know, older kids or where there are sort of boundaries in place and some good supervision, it might be something you know, fun to try. Just not for me for now for my child.
Great, and the let's now talk about the game difficulty. Like the fact that you have a peaceful setting as well as the other settings.
So a teacher or a parent or a child can choose the game setup that's right for them. So, you know, delicate little girls might like the peaceful setting. You don't get hungry, you don't have to kill anything, you don't have to look for food. And this might also be good for if you are doing a classroom geography lesson and you want the students to focus on the content of your lesson, you know, you don't really want them running away from the spiders when they're meant to be following your directions because it's a geography lesson sort of aimed at doing that. And then you can also select...
And it's more difficult to die there. So
yes.
I'd love that one.
Yeah.
Continue to exist.
Yes. And then you can also select the level of difficulty that's appropriate. So beginners who are trying something out, you know, trying Minecraft for the first time, would set it as an easy level. And as a student gets more and more experience, they might want to crank up the difficulty level to keep the game more interesting and challenging.
Right. I think let's go to the site that we've been talking about for a while now, the education.minecraft.net, and see what resources are available there. Are we able to go to
yes,
the internet?
Yeah. So I'm going there now, and people who've joined the Microsoft Educator community can find the Minecraft resources through that. I'll just show you how to do that. If you go to the Microsoft Educator community, which is at education.microsoft.com, and you click on products, you click on more products, Minecraft will come up. And if you click on Minecraft, then you get the Minecraft Education Edition resources. And what's really nice about this website is for teachers that are considering using Minecraft in their classroom, they can see a trailer. If you know, if your principal or parents need convincing, get them to watch that trailer to see just how well Minecraft can be used in the classroom. But you can also get inspiration from educators. You can see how other schools and districts have been using it, and you can get inspired. At the bottom of this page, there's also a place to sign up for updates. And I would encourage teachers who are considering using Minecraft in their classroom to do sign up, because then you'll go on the mailing list, and when
there are new updates,
when there are new updates, new you'll be the first to know. But if you click here at the top where it says resources, this is where you can download those pre-existing sort of starter lessons. So if you're sort of trying to get going, maybe instead of you know, starting off all on your own, rather see what others have done. So I referred to some of these examples earlier. Redstone Lodge is great for engineering principles, logic, there's even some music composition. There's this famous temple, one of the seven wonders of the world. You can see how that works. There's the famous pyramids, there's pixel art, and there's even Anderson shelters, the World War II sort of bunkers. So those are some great places to look. There's also a way of connecting with a Minecraft mentor if you've got some questions. But something also worth checking out is this frequently asked questions section, because you may very well find that the question you want to ask has somebody, already been asked and answered. But I think for now,
let's talk about the education edition.
Let's talk about the education edition. So this hasn't launched yet.
Yeah.
But if you fill in your email address where I've just shown you on the educator website, then you'll be one of the first to know when that releases. And if you're a teacher who's keen to use Minecraft in the classroom, or perhaps if you're using it already but would like to use it in a way that's perhaps safer or easier to administer as a teacher, then you might very well want to consider this. What's nice about the Education Edition is the plan is to give each student their own login and their own individual avatar, which then makes it easier for a teacher to see if somebody's destroyed somebody else's creation on purpose or whatever. At least the teacher can know what's going on and see who is responsible. There's also a camera option and an option to build a student portfolio, so that if students have spent hours creating beautiful masterpieces, there's a way of actually saving those as part of their portfolio. Their classroom management features, including the famous Peaceful World settings that I've already mentioned. But classroom management in terms of you know, limiting where students can go, what they can do, which are quite important in terms of getting them to stay on task. Obviously, teachers are already using the commercially available version of Minecraft in their classrooms, but they may be having to say to the class, you know, we're going to do Minecraft today, but these are the rules, and you know, if you don't obey, this is the last time we're ever going to do this. Whereas the classroom management features help the teacher to put some of those sort of guidelines in place without having to be the police. There are also specialized blocks to enhance teaching and learning. So opportunities to include some text, to include some sort of directions or instructions, which could then guide somebody through the Minecraft world or the activity that somebody set up. And there's also enhanced multiplayer opportunities where up to 30 students can collaborate and work together.
Yeah.
Which would be great in a class and help to control things.
Great.
So
yeah, well, I think we've talked quite a lot about Minecraft. We've described or defined what Minecraft is, the different modes, but all that is not enough until we talk to someone who's using Minecraft. Because you and I, Megan, we work mainly with teachers.
Yes.
So we decided, so how about we get somebody who works with kids that are using Minecraft, and then we can get it from the house's mind.
For sure. There was no Minecraft when we were teachers.
Yes.
So let's find out from somebody who is using Minecraft. So who have we got on the line?
Yeah, we've got Keshma Patel, who is one of our current MIEs. And I'm just going to try and Skype her into the call.
So while you're getting Keshma online, Keshma, as you've already mentioned, is one of our MIE experts, Microsoft Innovative Educator experts.
Yeah.
And she's recently the E2 Exchange event.
Yeah, sure. I think she's we're dialing her in.
What they can do, which are quite important in terms of getting them to stay on task. Obviously, teachers are already.
We've got a sound problem. We'll get Keshma back in a minute.
We're good now. Yes, I think we're okay now. Keshma, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah, great. Sorry, we had a little bit of a glitch.
No, but
great to see you.
You too. Thanks.
All right. So we've talked about Minecraft, introduced Minecraft to the educators, and we thought, how about we get someone like yourself who's working with students and using Minecraft? So we just wanted you to share your experiences with us.
Yeah, it's a great experience so far.
Yeah. So tell us about where you started, maybe.
Goals. Us actually, it was something that was constantly being talked about and discussed at break times, and I could often see when the girls had a little free moment, they would often be on their devices playing Minecraft. And it wasn't long before I asked them what they were doing, and they started explaining the game to me. So I used them as a starting point.
Oh, so the game discovered the game, the girls discovered the game before you.
Yes, they did, and they inspired a lot of the lessons and the way that we went with using Minecraft in the classroom.
Ah, okay. So what sort of things do they create?
So it started off with the first few lessons of them just playing, and I was quite lucky. Minecraft was quite a big thing with that specific class, and a lot of the girls had already purchased Minecraft. So that was one of the big sort of challenges that was easy to solve, is that most of the girls in the class had Minecraft and they enjoyed playing it. So a lot of time was spent watching them play and trying to understand the game myself, and then also allowing the experts of the game, spending time with those girls that were still learning the ins and outs of the different modes and resources and how to figure out their way around it. And until I sort of had a good understanding, and until I felt the class had furthered themselves enough to understand the game properly, only then did I start incorporating the various concepts that I wanted to teach through Minecraft with them.
And what age level, what age level are your girls?
These are grade 6 girls, so they are 12 turning 13.
Ah, great.
And Keshma, what are some of the lessons that you've used Minecraft in?
My first lesson that I did with them was we were covering the Renaissance, and so they had to create a little village which would exist during the time of the Renaissance. And so they had to tell me what resources their houses would be built of, what they would have in their community or villages at that time. And then from that, they then had to present an oral to me explaining what they had, why they had chosen the certain things, and how they went about setting up their village.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And have you done any lessons since then?
I haven't done any this year currently, but last year I did do a few more math lessons. So with area and perimeter, since you're working with squares, that makes it quite easy. And so, like you mentioned earlier, working out the volume of a pool and drawing your school to scale, so giving them a 2D map of a school, and then having them to do it in a 3D dimension was quite fun.
Yeah,
Wow.
And what about the other teachers at your school? Are they aware of Minecraft? Are they interested in Minecraft?
Yeah, I think especially after being able to attend the E2, I've come back sort of raving about gaming and coding, and especially Minecraft, as it is such a big part of the E2 conference. And so definitely trying to getting them on board. And so what I'm currently thinking of doing is getting some of our grade sevens, who are experts at Minecraft, to come and do a little teacher training course with us, and so come and teach the teachers how to play.
And speaking about the E2, Keshma, were there any sessions on Minecraft? And what experiences did you gather around Minecraft at E2?
Definitely is the next big thing, or the current big thing in education, especially with the Minecraft Education Edition coming out soon. It was something that was talked about in almost every single keynote. And Stephen Reed, who's a teacher from Ireland, he does quite a bit of, if you follow his Twitter feed, it's at Immersive Minds. And he is constantly posting new ideas and how he is using Minecraft in different schools. And there was at least one session, breakout session, on the 3 days, which dealt with Minecraft and different teachers using Minecraft in their classrooms. And then also at the learning marketplace, it was amazing to see how many teachers in different grades and in different countries were using it for projects in their classrooms.
So, Akesha, what for me is powerful about your story and what you've done is you've both been able to learn from your girls, and I'm sure they must have loved that, you know, being the experts and getting to show the teacher something. But you've also learned from, leading sort of international authorities, as well as ideas from other teachers. I mean, I'm sure you must have seen, oh, that's a cool idea, or I can't wait to try that out. Or maybe you even saw ideas for subjects that you maybe don't teach, but have been able to pass some ideas on to your colleagues.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I think, was something which I can credit the E2 for. I mean, meeting people from all around the world and all having actually quite similar issues which we face in the classroom, and having this one program which can actually help everybody no matter our situation or, you know, the challenges we face in our classroom is great, because we're all sort of working towards that common goal of these 21st century skills. And Minecraft has been a great vehicle to carry out these skills, like the collaboration, the communication that you have to have in your group. So that was amazing.
So when you've done Minecraft as a group activity, do the learners work together on one person's device, or do they each work on their own device? How do you set it up?
So what I did, because it's the girls have purchased it on their own devices and our school has a bring your own device policy, they would work on one person's device. So if I put them into, so it wouldn't be big groups bigger than three. I'm fortunate to have a relatively small class, so there was only 25 girls in my class at the time. And so putting them in groups of 2 to 3 girls in a group around one device, and then setting them that, okay, in this task, you would need to have the following criteria in your world created, and then working together to achieve it.
And then also if there were some girls who maybe hadn't purchased Minecraft, you were able to make sure that between the members of the group, there was at least one device with Minecraft on it.
Yes, absolutely. And also convincing the parents to buy Minecraft.
I'm sure that's not a difficult, that wouldn't be difficult, because it's a game that kids want to play. I mean, they love, and it's educational as well.
There's been so much research and interesting articles. It was quite easy to find additional resources and to back up the good things I was saying about it.
And so, Keshma, have the parents all been convinced? Do most of your girls now have Minecraft?
It's a continuing challenge. They are slowly buying onto it. But I think as soon as you say games in the classroom, it does sort of bring a bit of a halt. And why aren't we just doing, you know, the usual things, and are they really going to benefit? And I think it only comes in, or you sort of win their acceptance by showing them the amazing things that they can do. So it is taking a while. It's not something that happens immediately. But I think as they start seeing the results and what can be done, I think hopefully that they will be convinced.
Yeah, I mean, if I sort of wear my mommy hat for a minute here, you know, my child came home sort of telling me that she was the only child in her class that didn't have Minecraft. I mean, I'm not entirely sure that was true, but I did get Minecraft for her. But but she seems to play a lot of it at school, but it seems to be more a case of, you know, they've got a bit of spare time and the teacher's happy to let them play Minecraft because it keeps them quiet and keeps them sort of entertained. But if she was coming home telling me, you know, we did an area on area and perimeter today using Minecraft, or we were doing Renaissance structures, or, you know, the kinds of exciting things that, you've been doing with your girls, if I hadn't yet got her Minecraft, I would definitely get it for her. So I think parents will buy into the idea if they can see that it genuinely is being used for, sound education, not just as a, you know, a way of keeping kids amused.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that goes for any tool that you use in technology. I think there needs to be some form of structure combined with your task. And if that is visible, it is a lot clearer for the parent and for other teachers in the school to see that there is a clear learning objective from completing the task, and it's not something that's just being done to keep learners quiet.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think, you know, the kids are easy to convince that, you know, Minecraft's cool and it's fun. So they're not the problem.
Yes.
I think the challenge is the parents and then
and,
your colleagues.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and I don't know at your school, Micklefield, if you are the only teacher for that grade or if there are other teachers in your grade. How does it work?
So we are quite a small school, so there's only one class per grade, so I'm the only teacher in my grade.
Okay. Because you know, if there was more than one class per grade, it wouldn't be much fun for the kids who weren't in your class knowing that next door all of this like really cool stuff would be going on and they would be, you know, doing maybe the same content or the same topics but out of a textbook or, you know, in some traditional way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think getting other teachers on board and realizing what is out there with regards to technology is something that's so important. And again, Microsoft and attending the E2 is learning all these new things is what's so exciting. And I think definitely as an MIE, and that's our job that we have to do now, is to try and get everybody else on board and try and make them excited and let them see how much fun our classes are having. And so, for example, another idea in which to get teachers on board is coming to have a few of the teachers come and watch me teach a lesson using Minecraft and letting them see what enjoyment the girls are getting out of it in my class, but also to let them see that they are still learning while they are playing.
For sure. And then using, you know, those learners who know something about Minecraft be the experts and letting teachers let that happen and realizing that, you know, they still know their subject content and they still know their pedagogy, but actually the learners have something to contribute to.
Yeah, and I think it's also important for us teachers to have some playtime as well with the different.
for sure.
Yeah.
So, Keshma, are you a bit of a Minecraft fan? Do you play in your own time?
Yes, I think I am.
Yeah.
Okay, well, before we let you go, Keshma, just one quick question from myself. You know, I speak to a lot of teachers, and most teachers tell me, you know, they don't know where to start with Minecraft. So if we're to give teachers one little advice on Minecraft, where to start, what do you think they should, how do you think they can deal with this?
I think if you do have learners that are exposed to Minecraft in your class, I think use them as a first step because they share that enjoyment and the excitement, and they will definitely want to get you on board if you tell them that you would like to use this tool in your classroom. If there's nobody, then you look at the Minecraft education website. I know Minecraft is a bit expensive and you have to purchase it and all of that, but look at what's out there, watch YouTube videos, look at the research that's being done with that different teachers are doing in their classrooms. There's so much online. Even just Google Minecraft in the classroom. There's so many interesting articles that are being done and written. So I think use that as a starting point and then see if you'd like to purchase it and then give it a go.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for being part of our webinar, Keshma. And I think you're an inspiration, not just to your colleagues at Micklefield, but to teachers beyond, and now to teachers throughout Africa who are going to be watching this Microsoft Virtual Academy. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. It's been great fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye, Keshma. Bye.
So, Victor, we've only got a few minutes left.
Yes, yeah, sure. That was exciting.
But it was great to hear from Keshma. I really think she's gone about this the right way. She's empowered her learners. I mean, I'm sure they must have loved thinking, we taught ma'am that. I know my own daughter, when I said, you'd better show me how to work Minecraft because I'm doing a webinar on it.
Yes.
She loved that she knew something and was able to teach me.
Yes.
And we actually enjoyed sitting together and playing together. And your teachers and parents can have that experience with their children.
We've said it many times that one of the hallmarks of innovative teachers is being open to learn with the students or from the students.
For sure. You know, you don't have to be, a coding guru or somebody who spends, sort of all night in front of a computer screen playing, video games all night. You don't have to be a sort of diehard gamer to realize that this is a really fun toy that you can use in creative and engaging ways.
Yeah, because what Keshma's kids did, they discovered the tool and she puts the pedagogy behind the tool. They thought it's just a game, any other game. But now Keshma is an educator. She thought of ways in which this tool, this game, can be used to achieve a learning goal.
And also sort of thought, well, we've got this topic coming up in history, and if the kids love building these Minecraft houses anyway, let them build a Renaissance house using the appropriate materials. Or we're going to be doing area and perimeter. How can we, bring in Minecraft? So she's still getting her subject taught. She's still covering the content and the skills that she needs to cover, but she's engaging and empowering her learners at the same time.
Okay, we have to go, but before we go, I think let's just get some ideas about how to get the best out of Minecraft.
So we've already shown it, but I'm going to show it again. The best thing is to have a sound educational objective. That's the hallmark of good teaching. But if you are keen on learning more, go to the Microsoft Educator community. Look for the Minecraft Education Edition. Go to resources, and this is where you can get those starter lessons. This is where you can see the frequently asked questions, and where you can connect with the Minecraft in Education team and get yourself on that mailing list so that you're the first to know when Minecraft Education Edition comes out. If you would like to purchase Minecraft, you can go to minecraft.net, that's the official site, or on whichever browser or whichever operating system you're using on your tablet, go to the Play Store. There'll be a version of Minecraft that you can download from there if you're itching to get started in the meantime.
Great. I think the next webinar on Minecraft, we really have to find someone another teacher perhaps who can go in there and really demo how this Minecraft works, because I see today's webinar as more of an introduction to Minecraft.
Yes.
So I think we need to do another demo where we go into Minecraft and really build things with Minecraft.
For sure. In the meantime, if you do want to look for some more Minecraft lessons, if you go on the Educator community and you go to find a lesson, and then you do a search here down at the bottom, find a lesson, and you look for products, and I've already filled it in here, Minecraft. There's some lessons that other teachers have already shared with the community. At this stage, they're not too many, because Minecraft is quite a new tool.
Yeah.
But if you're a great teacher out there using Minecraft in great ways, be one of the first to upload your learning activity, your lesson idea. And who knows, maybe we'll feature you on our next Minecraft webinar.
Great.
But that's it for today.
Fantastic. I learned a lot about Minecraft.
Enjoy it. Give it a go. The best way to learn more about using Minecraft is to actually play Minecraft. So try it out. That's the best way. And you'll learn more as you experiment, try more things. You're not going to break it, so give it a go.
And you're not going to die.
And you're not going to die, depending on which mode you're playing in. We'll see you next time.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.